Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis. And if it's 3 p.m. Central, it's Basic Gospel Live, and today we're joined by our great friend, John Lynch. John, good to have you with us today, my friend.
Well, guys, it's great to be back.
Yes,
indeed. I love coming on here.
We look forward to sharing these next several minutes with you. But to our listeners, just a quick note that we will probably not be taking live phone calls today. However, if you have questions or issues you'd like to get us to talk about or discuss, well, we cordially invite you to call anytime and leave us a voicemail. The number is the same in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. So call with questions or give us a description of the issue you're dealing with, and we'll be glad to discuss it on Basic Gospel soon. Again, that number is 844-322-2742. But today we're talking with our great friend John Lynch, and to get the conversation started, here's my friend Bob Christopher.
Well, thank you, Bob. And John, it is always a pleasure for us to have you with us. And you and I were talking the other day. I think I called you because of an article you posted on your Facebook page. And I said, why don't you just come on and let's have a conversation about Jesus, about the grace of God, and how we can bring the grace of God to some of the issues that we're dealing with in today's climate and culture. And boy, it's a mess out there, isn't it?
What are you hearing? I'm not hearing anything. Nothing's going on here in Phoenix.
It's all peace and love and joy and everything out there. Well, I guess we all need to move to Phoenix, don't we?
No, don't do that.
Y'all keep y'all's problems elsewhere. Let us be safe. Well,
It is a bizarre time like none I think we've gone through in our entire life.
Yes. Well, you and I went and Bob Davis went through the 60s, and certainly that was a decade to remember, and in 1968 and 69, and a lot of political unrest, a lot of racial tension, all sorts of things, and a lot about what we're dealing with today really reminds me of that time. It kind of takes me back to that time.
68, the Democratic National Convention, some of that same just crazy anger.
Yes.
And tension going on. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I wanted to start out today with just a passage of scripture, and this is just kind of to get the ball rolling, and then once we lay this out there, then we're just going to let the Lord take this conversation however he wants to direct it. But what I want from our listeners is to really, for you guys to hear the heart and mind of John Lynch. He's a guy who knows the Lord. He's been in ministry for a long, long time. He's been teaching the grace of God for a long, long time. And he's got a heart and mind that you guys just need to hear and really need to listen. He's like E.F. Hutton when he speaks. We all need to be quiet and hear what he has to say. But John, here's the passage that I want to start out with. It's in Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 14. For he, Jesus, is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. So as we look out there in the world, John, we see a lot of walls of hostility that divide us. And we see in the gospel Jesus Christ tearing down the one wall of hostility that divided us from him. And how can we be people who break down walls as far as believers in Christ?
Whew, golly. The rancor.
Did I start out with a hard question on that?
Oh, you just started out so well. But I'm watching the other day. Let me start back. I have weekly and semi-week or every other week put out a video. These are produced several months before, and some media bites that I told our organization, let's stop right now and not put them out because they can be tone deaf, because they were all produced before the coronavirus. They were all produced before this outbreak of protest and rancor and anger. And so I'm only writing now on Facebook and doing Facebook Live. And one of the things I did was I gave everybody my email address, john@johnlynchspeaks.com, because this is this incredible time in the middle of anger and hurt. The things, the pieces I'm getting from people are so filled with fear. There's so much fear, personal fear, anxiety, freaked out, overwhelmed, scared. I don't know what to do with this time. And so God has made us ambassadors to peace. He has made, I don't know what else I can do, but I know that I have Christ's love dwelling in me. I have his entire nature fused into John Lynch and Bob Christopher, Bob Davies. We have it, not him up there, but him fused into us. And at the very least, I get the privilege of loving scared people right now and loving freaked out people and angry people. I have some angry people at me right now because they don't know where to take it. And so I get to keep drawing close. When someone fails, I get to keep drawing close to them. So I wrote a piece. I almost never, ever write about anything political or social because you always lose 49% of your audience,
or
51%. So, yeah. And I've been very good about it, but I have some friends of color who kindly call me out privately and say, John, I need to hear from you. I need you. When does Grace come out and have something to say on this subject? When does Grace and Identity have something to say on this subject? And I always justified in my mind to never do it. And finally, I was watching someone on TV crying as they were talking about their sadness, and I identified with their pain. And it caused me to say, I don't care anymore. Grace has to come out and shine and play, and love has to speak into these issues the way only love can speak. We always talk about there's a language of flesh which says, hey, what's wrong with you? You should, you ought, come on, you're wrong on this, I'm right. And it never accomplishes anything. But there is a language of love, of grace, that can get to the heart. Sometimes it's by having to admit my error. Sometimes it's speaking from a place of weakness. Sometimes it's allowing them to see my vulnerability. And so I tried to do all of that in that note that I wrote. And it was precious to see 98% of the responses were, thank you. You put into words my heart. I just didn't know how to say it. Thank you. And so I think we, especially who are communicators, writers, authors, and speakers, we have this precious gift to not tear down or divide or win or defeat or declare the obvious, but to find those who are scared, those who are freaked out, and to enter into their pain. And that's that precious season we're in right now. It's overwhelming. It is overwhelming to me because people are taking me up. They're writing to me now, and they're telling me their health issues as well as their frustration. So you open yourself up to a lot, but this is one of those uncommon seasons where we get to come out and shine in such a beautiful way and break down that dividing wall and bring peace and enmity that only Jesus can bring.
And I think what you said there is so vitally important. This isn't a time for us as believers to shrink back into our little enclaves and be in our little groups. This is a time for us to really burst forth on the scene with a message that needs to be heard.
That's right.
And to do so with compassion. I love what you said there, John, about being empathetic, understanding, validating what somebody is going through. And I think that's one of the problems of the day, is that so many people are tone deaf. We're not really getting what another person is experiencing and how they're going through something. So we bring listening ears, empathetic hearts, and in doing so, we have opportunity to connect that person to a love that transcends whatever they're going through. So yes. I think you're saying some powerful things there, things that really need to be heard at this time. So I think our takeaway from this first part is, let's not run away from the problem. Let's be who we are in the midst of the problem.
That's right. And it's sometimes the veneer is so thin, a person just needs to know I'm loved, and then they give you permission in, and then they can hear.
Yes.
They can't hear otherwise. So that's what love does, is it waits the other person out and draws closer. And instead of forcing a fight or demanding, it won't work in this time. It just has never worked. And so God uses the language of love to be able to get to people's heart, because that can affect change.
Yes,
powerfully can check. That's how the gospel works. And so he's given us these creatures, of these fallible creatures. The one thing we can do well, the only thing we're asked to do well, is to love. But love is a lot of work. It's the process of meeting needs. Anything else is Hallmark sentimentality. It actually steps into another's life and asks, how can I love you? How can I stand with you?
Absolutely.
So it's a precious time for us to, but it also means, like you said, we're going to have to go into the arena. And if grace and identity and the love of Christ, if the gospel of grace cannot speak into these issues, cannot speak into this time, then it, for many, it becomes irrelevant. So we have this wonderful privilege right now.
What a great realization.
Yes, indeed.
Well, friends, you're listening to Basic Gospel. Our very dear friend John Lynch is joining Bob Christopher and me. We're glad you're with us. The lines for the live broadcast are not open today, but I want to remind you once again that you can leave a voicemail for us anytime, like right now, if you want to, at 844-322-2742. Mm-hmm. We'd love to address your particular situation or your Bible question on Basic Gospel soon. That's as much as I'll say, soon. But right now, friends, as we approach the end of our fiscal year, please keep in mind that your gifts are the fuel that keep Basic Gospel on the air and online. Why is it important for us to be here? Well, I know that you hear it every day. Basic Gospel brings a message of hope in Jesus Christ. The need for that message is made abundantly clear as we address the calls and email from our listeners, many of whom are struggling with heartbreaking issues and who are looking for answers from a source that they can trust. The focus always here is to point listeners to the trustworthy one, who is, of course, Jesus Christ. And as we approach the end of the fiscal year, we ask everyone listening to prayerfully consider what our Lord would have you do to support Basic Gospel. And as Bob has clearly pointed out, any amount you give will help us reach the needed amount by the end of this month. Use the website, basicgospel.net, or the mail. You can find the address in the footer of every page of that website. If you would like to send a check, make your gift by check, well, just use that particular address, street address, and we would love for you to partner with us here at Basic Gospel. And may our Lord richly multiply every gift that you make to Basic Gospel.
Yes, indeed. Well, again, this is Basic Gospel. I'm Bob Christopher. Our special guest today is John Lynch. If you've never met John Lynch, I want you to pay attention. You can also find out more about John at his website, johnlynchspeaks.com. That's johnlynchspeaks.com. He is the author of one of my favorite books, On My Worst Day. And, John, I understand you're revising that or bringing that up to date.
I'm having such a fun time with this. The book stopped. It's a kind of a timeline of my life story with learning grace and imagining what Christ was saying to me even before I knew him, knowing how I know him now, what I can imagine he was thinking about me, wanting to say, well, it ends at 2013. And I've lived some, it seems like some of the toughest, best, most important years of my life since 2013. So I'm bringing the book up to date, and I'm just changing some older stories and then adding some more content. And I am having the time of my life getting to do it.
Yeah, well, if anybody's interested in that book, we have it available at our website on our store there. So I certainly encourage you to get a copy of John's book. It will certainly be a blessing in your life. But, John, we're talking about how we can tear down walls today as believers in Christ. Certainly that's what the Lord did, and he in this gospel of grace, he's erasing all the dividing lines that stand between us. That's what he does. That's what his death, burial, and resurrection is all about, erasing those fissures, erasing those lines, tearing down those walls. And as we get into the arena, as we walk toward these issues and toward these problems, knowing who we are in Christ, we're gonna see the Lord loving people through us, and we're gonna have that experience of loving people. And before the break, you talked about the fact that love takes work. It's an action. It's not just a sentiment. It's not just warm, fuzzy feelings. It's rolling up the sleeves and getting involved with somebody. And I think that really takes us to the definition of love in 1 Corinthians 13. And Paul has 15 action statements that describe the love of God, 7 positive, 8 negative statements in that. But every single word that he uses, like love is patient, that word patience is a verb. It's a present active verb. The word kind is a present active verb. And that really speaks to what you're saying. It's not just to stand on the sidelines and, you know, hope Jesus is going to take care of things. It's God working in us and moving us into the action to be involved with people. So tell us how that, what that looks like, and how we can do that at this particular point in history.
Well, thanks, Bob. That was wonderful what you said out of 1 Corinthians 13. I think sometimes preachers, teachers, communicators, that we talk about love like, and you ought to do this, this, you ought to be patient, and you ought to, and I think we as listeners go, don't you think I'm trying?
We're giving it our best.
But what they're not telling us sometimes is this: not describing what to do. This is describing who you are, who you really are. The most real you is. The most real you doesn't want to get away with anything. The most real you wants to love like crazy. And so that's the biggest job we have, is getting in touch with the reality that that has actually happened, and that is who I actually am. Until then, I feel weak and impotent, and like that thing, some far away, some utopian thing for certain people, but not me. But that's why we have to continually teach this new identity, that I am no longer my shame story. I'm no longer that loser or failure or that person who can't get it right, that I'm Christ in John Lynch, that I really think about it. At the core of who I am, I don't want to get away with anything. And at the core of who I am, when I understand that, that supernatural power is able to exude through me, because it's not an add-on. It is a die cast in me. That's who I really am. The more we can teach that, and the more our listeners, right where you are, the chapter before of Ephesians 1 and telling us who we are, the more we can risk that that's true and depend upon it, we become these powerful, powerful gifts and emissaries that get to shine light into the world. We're all that we see around us, government, left or right, it'll always corrupt. It's not the gospel. It's so, that's what we have to live in. We have to live in a world that has government, and hopefully it does right and we pray for it. But what everybody needs is chapter 2 of Ephesians. That's ultimately the answer that we can give, is the hope of Jesus Christ.
Absolutely.
And so we give it in a lot of arenas. We give it under different titles with different people. But ultimately, that's what we know mankind needs as long as this planet is still alive another day.
Yeah. Well, John, that brings me to, and I think this will probably be the last topic we can get to for today, is this knowing who we are, how vitally important that is. And here's why I bring that up, because as you scour Facebook or any of the other social media channels or listen to news, you see these fingers being pointed at you. You see words being directed towards you. You need to be doing this. You need to be doing that. And if we don't know who we are, then it's going to be easy to give in to the whims and the wishes and the desires of somebody else. You know, they have this standard of righteousness. If you were really concerned, you would do this. Or if you were really interested, you would say that. And, boy, that limits the power of God in us. If we're just simply going to give in to what others say we ought to be doing, then we're not listening to what God wants to be doing in and through us. And that's going to be more powerful and more useful to the world than anything else is going to be. So talk to us a little bit about that. How do we stand our ground and not give in to kind of the legalism of the world, is how I frame it.
That's well said. The world does have a legalism. Now, we have to be relevant. We have to stay in the cultural issues. We just have to. We're citizens of this world. But I have to be careful how much I allow myself to engage in that content that's being thrown at me, because it's very rare for me to come across anybody, anyone who's not speaking in a language of the flesh. That's, hey, what's wrong with you? Why can't you? You should. And you can end up with this, and I call it white shame. You just have this, I'm an Anglo and I am ashamed. No, I'm not an Anglo. I'm Christ in me. I'm a citizen of God. And if I come at it from any other way, I lose. I just lose. I become impotent. But if I can say, no, don't identify me by any other label than Christ in me. That's who I am. And it is never changes. It never moves. It never yells at me. It never is disgusted at me. I'm never ashamed. I'm never belittled. I'm never put down. So I have to keep coming back to this word that tells me who I am, and stay in that strength. And that allows me to go out. That allows me to go out in and be a citizen of this world and get to speak into the issues, but with Christ. And so it really demands that we have each other to remind that of each other, because I was on today with some friends and they are embroiled in the moment. And it takes away the beauty of their lives.
Yeah. It's time to lift people up and allow them to see all that there is through the death, Amen. The burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Well, thank you, John.
Yeah, loved having you, my friend. And friends, if you'd like to check out John's website, it's johnlynchspeaks.com. We'd love for you to do that. We'll see you tomorrow for the continuation of the study in Titus with Bob Christopher and Basic Gospel. See you then. Bye-bye.